dogs in the yard, might need a guard. Every loss, taken to heart. Me first, that cannot be. Must be these underdog episodes, see? Feeling much better, so suddenly. Under the moniker, Monica G. Crafted at night, while all of them sleep. I won't look a fool, taking this tool. Defeating the opposition around me. No, no, I'm not sorry. Yes, I'm taking this knowledge and pride. Just barking, no harm, don't be sorry.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 193 of Dynasty Underdog. I'm your host, Uriah Dawkins. With me tonight, Billy Beeman, what's up?
Oh my goodness, I'm doing great, man. Yeah, man, it's just been really awesome since last week when we did the episode with Matt Waldman. Just overwhelmed with the support from listeners and just new listeners in the Discord. It's been really awesome. So really excited about that and just keeping that energy rolling for sure.
Perfect. So before we empty the notebook, we do this every year. We run through profiles as long as we can for, I don't know, about 2 months straight. And then at the end, there's always more that Billy's charted. And we'll like to take a look at those and just kind of give you the cliff notes on each of these remaining prospects. But before we do that, let's hop into some news and nonsense real quick. So we do have a live rookie mock going Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, post-NFL draft. Should be fun. I believe we're going to live stream it. So tune in for that. See if any of our thoughts have changed about these prospects.
If
hopefully not. Hopefully we've done our due diligence and they haven't changed that much. But you know, landing spot really changes a lot of things. So you get your CEHs and your Sky Moores and things like that. Dynasty Underdog rookie rankings are live in our Discord, so we'll hop into Discord, follow us on YouTube, listen to us on Spotify. All that stuff really helps us. And some NFL news. We have Amon-Ra St. Brown got the bag. The highest average per year, highest average guaranteed out of any wide receiver. Jerry Jones dropping the bag on all that. Rashad Bateman, the team picked up his fifth-year option, so more smoke about him possibly being something. I know Billy's not going to fall for it, but I'm falling in love again.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I don't have any shares.
Just when you thought you were out, they pull you back in.
They always do. And then Ja'Marr Chase, they picked up his fifth-year option, too. So I'm sure they're going to actually get a deal done before the start of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, on top of that, you have T. Higgins asking for a trade now. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on over there in Cincinnati. Amon-Ra will be the highest-paid wide receiver for, I don't know, a couple weeks until Justin Jefferson gets his new deal. And I will not be falling for the Rashad Bateman fifth-year breakout. I will let my opponents take on the baggage there and you know, I'll be left with a roster spot or some other asset. But what if, yeah, that hopium is real, man. And yeah, I know it that is. there were some comments from the coaches that, you know, that are encouraging, but yeah, not for me, really, not for me. But for the live rookie mock on Sunday, it is all so far our Discord members. I think we're waiting for two more. So if you do want to get in on that, hop in the Discord and there's two spots and we'll let it out to the public if we don't get two more from the Discord. But yeah, just that's where you're gonna get first come, first serve right there.
All right, let's hop into these last remaining profiles and try to do it as concise as possible.
We're emptying the notebook, man. We'll see if we can be concise.
This is the first time Billy and I doing this method. If you're watching live, might be a little clunky, but we'll get there. We're going to start off with Ricky Pearsall. All right, Ricky Pearsall, 5 years in the league before declaring, average dominator 26.3%. His average yards per team attempt 0.99, which is actually not that bad. His yards per route run is 2.23, yards after the catch per reception 5.8, with an ADOT just above 10 at 11.1, which is good. I do need to experiment more with ADOT, but I was listening to Peter Howard, which you guys should check out. Dynasty Crossroads, if you don't listen to it, it's pretty good stuff for the stat nerds. But he was talking about the threshold of 11 ADOT. Anything under is considered like a low ADOT. Anything over is considered high ADOT. But we won't get into that too much. Just talking to myself here mostly. Slot percentage, 56.5. Last year's man yards per outrun was 2.28. Last year's zone yards per outrun was 2.5. Contested catch percentage was almost 74%, and his career best target share was 22.6. Breakout age of 20, and first down per route run of 0.093. Doing some quick searching and filtering, anything about 0.1 is pretty good. So he's right there on the threshold. and his average
avoided tackles per game.
Tackles per game was 0.8.
I added that one in last minute on Uriah, and
it's okay.
Tricked him there. yeah, man. I mean, the numbers are encouraging for not 23 at least, right? Yeah, definitely not bad. I wasn't like, you know, we had Waldman on last week. We talked a little bit about his Pearsall ranking over Ladd McConkey, and I watched a little bit more of him, and I couldn't quite get there with Waldman. Honestly, I think he lacks a little something after the catch. He lacks a little burst, in my opinion. He's definitely a really sound route runner. I mean, he offers a lot of nuance during the route. The press stuff I didn't see as much as he was talking about, you know, using the hands and getting off press coverage and really beating guys like that. Now there's still plenty more tape to watch. So, you know, he kind of lacks in that area of the grading for me, but just really great hands from him. Pretty good field awareness. So, I mean, he's above average, I think, in about all categories, but I do think that he just lacks some of that dynamic ability, in my opinion, just really a technically sound route runner. You know, good manipulation movements through the release and top of the route. Just lacks strength through contact, in my opinion, during the stem of the route, but reliable hands and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's a quality player. I'm just not sure I see the upside that everybody else does. I mean, we're looking at the ADP here at 25, wide receiver 12, and for us, he's quite a bit of ways down from that, yeah. Right? We're at 36 and wide receiver 18. And, you know, I even kind of chatted about this with Jake before. Can we move this guy up a little bit? And we couldn't quite find a way. So maybe the draft will, you know, the NFL draft, maybe that will provide some clarity for us. And seeing, you know, a landing spot and maybe what they actually think of this guy, you know, is he definitely second round pick and all that. So yeah, I'm still a little unsure of the upside, I guess, is where I land on it. How about you?
Yeah. Before any of that, like before the NFL draft, whatever, like right now, if I was going to be in a rookie draft anywhere in the late second, I think it's probably where I would feel comfortable. If he moves up anywhere past that, I think I'm out.
That makes sense. Definitely, especially with how deep this class is with some talent who I think have more upside in these ranges maybe. So yeah, we'll see exactly where he falls, but definitely an intriguing player. I mean, he definitely has some juice, just a little bit more inconsistent than I think others believe. Let's take a look at Jalen Coker, wide receiver out of Holy Cross. So, I mean, the competition here is not the best. I'll be honest there. But, I mean, you look at the yards per route run this year, 3.51. Honestly, here, I'll share my screen and go over to his PFF profile because for some reason he didn't pull in their data. But either way, looking at the season grades down here at the bottom, we can see it, right? Yeah, just making sure. Okay, come down here. I mean, the yards per route run the last 2 years, 3.51, 3.11, 17.5 yards per reception, 15 touchdowns this year, 1,035 yards on 59 receptions, 89 targets. So I'm assuming the QB play was not fantastic. 18.2 slot rate, way up from the year before. So used probably in a little more versatile way than he was prior. You know, 81% wide makes sense, not lining up in line or anything like that. Yards after catch per reception leaves a little something to be desired. A dot's good. We don't have a first down per route run here because that's custom by me, but missed tackle forced 11. Yeah, so I mean, kind of lines up, I feel like, with what I have in the notes. He's not elusive whatsoever and offers very little after the catch. But the guy has extremely secure hands. I mean, catches anything that comes near him, off target catches, all that good stuff. Creates some good separation, good at beating press. I think he exhibits like some good short area burst, but definitely not like long speed or anything like that. He's an okay route runner, leaves something to be desired. I know that Jake was not nearly as high on him as I was. So yeah, I mean, he's down there pretty far in terms of film grades. I mean, he's in the bottom third for sure for me. But just the production, I don't think can be really ignored, even at a place like Holy Cross. I mean, he is a fairly technically sound guy and a big body dude, but I'm just not sure he has kind of the speed and everything that we want to see.
Yeah, 6'1", 208, ran a 4.5. Player profiler's burst score got him in 98th percentile, and his catch radius 98th percentile.
Yeah, no, those are actually great contextual stats. I think they offer a bit of insight to kind of how he plays. But yeah, what I meant to say, I think, is he lacks some athleticism overall, is how I see it. But he's really good, like, fundamentally as a player. So that's kind of how I would put it for Jalen Coker. We can hop into Tez Walker, as they call him, Devon Tez Walker, wide receiver out of UNC, playing with Drake May. I mean, you can see by our ranking here, I didn't love this guy, but you can give us the numbers. I mean, I guess sell him to me by the numbers, because I can't get there with the film.
Quick glance, that might be a little hard, but we'll see. 3-year declare, so it looks like he came out a little bit early, which is good. Early declare, break at the edge, that still stuff still matters. Average dominator of 36.3. His average yard per team attempt is 0.93, which is also decent. Some of my favorite prospects are coming in at like a 0.8. So yards per route run, career yards per route run is 2.2. yards after the catch per reception, 2.8. That's kind of concerning. But with an A dot of 18.2, so this might be one of those guys that just takes these long bombs and gets tackled on the sideline a lot. I don't know. Slot rate, he's not playing from the slot very often, 6.9% slot rate. Devontae's Tez Walker, man yards per out run last year is 1.05, and zone was 3.29. So hopefully he sees a bunch of zone in the NFL. Contested catch rate of 62.1, and his career best target share was 23. Broke out at age 21, and not great. Yeah, that's pretty much what I got.
Not great. Yeah, Tez Walker's a waste of a rookie draft pick.
I think so, Jake, yeah.
Jake coming in with the positivity tonight.
I agree.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree as well. I mean, honestly, before I even get into the film, just kind of going back to the numbers, I don't love that he's not playing out of the slot much. I mean, that, you know, if you develop at the next level, that can change, but you kind of want to see that slot usage, to be honest. Some people look down on that. Also, the man yards per out run, just kind of the way he's winning, makes a lot of sense, right? Like a deep threat beating those zone coverages.
Exactly.
Same with coming across the middle as well, not just deep, but he's, you know, beating guys in zone coming across the middle. You see that a lot. The breakout age is not good.
But like, is he just falling down every time he catches?
Not really. It's just when he is catching touchdowns, they're really, he's not having to do much after the catch. He's pretty much down there by the end zone. but yeah, no, he's also not really, he is falling down, I guess, over the middle of the field and stuff like that. And then the first down per route run, you know, 0.082, that's not where you want it to be either. So then jumping into the film, you know, I'm surprised to say this after hearing kind of some of the love from him in the community, he's my lowest graded receiver, lanky, speedy receiver who lacks nuance and refined technique, sluggish transition movement, doesn't exhibit manipulation movement or curvilinear movement, strictly an outside receiver, in my opinion. His best abilities are ball tracking and zone recognition. He illustrates ability to stack defenders, but doesn't separate or avoid contact through the stem of the route well. Not much after the catch, in my opinion, you know, obviously by the numbers. And then I just don't think he's a really good route runner. So that's kind of where I land on him. And you see the ADP, I mean, just talking about what the community thinks, 36 wide receiver 17, and for us 50 wide receiver 25. So we're way out on Tez Walker. He reminds me kind of like a Mecole Hardman, or in that, like, it's not Mecole Hardman, he's definitely better than that, I guess, but he reminds me in that kind of like, or Marcus Valdes-Scantling is a better one. That's what I was looking for. Same team. But he reminds me of a Marcus Valdes-Scantling type player. Not Mecole.
Like, this dude's ceiling is MVS.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Out.
Okay. I think we covered that one. Well. All right. I'm excited to talk about this next one. I just dropped a film room on Taj Washington as well. And more like Meatball Hardman. Sorry, couldn't pass that one up. Yeah, Taj Washington. This guy is super interesting. I mean, he's smaller, but I want to see what you think by the numbers, because he is definitely a player who I think translates to this day and age of NFL football, right? Like, I know he's smaller, but I think he can succeed. So tell me what you see before I dive into the film notes.
This looks great. Yeah. clear year four, 4-year clear. His average dominator is pretty low. It's 17.5%. His average yards per team attempt, 0.93, which is a good mark. Career yards per route run, 3.06. Yards after the catch per reception, 8.6. So he knows what to do with that thing in his hand. A dot right around 11, 10.7. Slot usage, 89%. last year's yards per route run was 2.6 against man. Against zone was 2.8. Contested catch percentage, almost 80%, 79.7. His career best target share was 16%, but
slow.
That team has got, I think they're going to have like three wide receivers getting drafted in this draft. So breakout age, 19. His first downs per route run is above that 0.1 threshold, that 0.107. And avoided tackles per game is 1.4. I like the numbers.
Yeah, and I like the film. And that's pretty much what I said in our Discord and on the film room as well. I mean, just, you know, my main notes here, I think mainly plays out of the slot, but can go wide. Fluid mover, exhibits good lateral agility and curved linear movement, plus yak ability, reliable hands, used out of motion often, really good coverage awareness, illustrating ability to improvise during the route and play. So he's really able to dissect coverages and, you know, make decisions on the fly and then work with his quarterback. You know, they had a pretty good connection, a pretty good chemistry. So, you know, that obviously won't translate necessarily to the NFL, but I do think that, you know, his skill set will offer that potential. Really good after the catch. I think that, you know, just above average burst. He's not like elite burst. He's not going to, you know, blow your socks off like that necessarily, but great wiggle. I mean, really good, really elusive, great hands, like really, really reliable hands. One of the top grades in this class. Pretty good route runner. You know, I would say well above average, but not elite. Does have a little bit of trouble with press. I mean, he's not often pressed anyway, playing out of the slot as much as he is. But when he did have really tight coverage, I thought he worked well to get open, to separate. It's just really good footwork and really good, really quick in short area. You see those whip routes, all that kind of stuff. So 3.06 yards per route run this past year. He's not being drafted per ADP. He has a rank of 41 for us and wide receiver 21. So this is a guy who I can see myself having a ton of coming out of these drafts. And he might even be on the waivers and you can, you know, get him as a priority add or whatever after. I really, really like Taj Washington. In that situation, I thought it was impressive that he was able to carve out a role and carve out as much production as he did.
Yeah, he's a little bit slight. He's 5'10", 174.
Yeah.
And according to Player Profiler here, got to supplement some of this information. We have him as 5 years in college, 2 years at Memphis, and then 3 with USC.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tiny, tiny arms, only 29 inches.
Yeah, I mean, he's a small guy. Yeah, but I do think that he has a pretty refined skill set in terms of the wide receiver position, to where he can go somewhere and he can create for himself before and after the catch, which is important. Like, that's what you need. And yeah, he's small, but I think we've seen that, you know, teams are more willing to take risks on him. So obviously draft position or draft capital and landing spot are going to be super important for this guy. But I'm really impressed with what I saw on film. I didn't, you know, when I first threw on the tape, I'm like, all right, let's see what we got from Taj Washington. I'm like, whoa, I see what we got from Taj Washington. This guy's got some juice. So yeah, that was a fun watch. Go check out the film room if you haven't seen that. Oh, another fun one. Malachi Corley. Let's hop into this cat. I think, you know, this is another one where we differ pretty greatly from the community in terms of ADP per our and our rank.
Okay.
I'm interested to see what you see from the number side of things.
Declare year 4. So he's there for the full stint. Average dominator, 21.5%. Average yards per team attempt is over the 1 mark, so 1.03, which is pretty good. Career yard per route run, 2.78. Yards after the catch per reception, 8.6, with a really small A dot, only 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
Little gimmicky, maybe like a Wandale or something. Slot percentage, 85.9. Last year's man yards per out run was 3.72. Last year's zone yards per out run was 2.41, with a contested catch rate of 68.7. His career best target percentage was 22%. Breakout age of 20. Again, over that 0.1 mark for first downs per route run. And avoided tackles per game was 1.3. Not bad.
No, definitely not too bad. I was overly impressed with what I saw from Corley. He got one of the higher grades in the class overall, to be honest. And that doesn't mean that he's going to be ranked up there. I mean, you can see that based on his ranking for us. He's wide receiver 9. So, but really versatile player. He can be utilized, in the rushing and passing game. I actually dropped a film room on this guy, or I dropped a YouTube short on him as well, covering a good variety of plays from him. And you see the rushing ability in there, you know, why he's getting that Debo hype. He has those type of traits, but he's super sure-handed, low center of gravity. He's got a wide, strong base, kind of like that running back build. He has near elite burst and explosiveness, in my opinion, from the release through the stem after the catch. He's extremely physical route runner. I'm talking about running guys over, not fazed by physical coverage. Though I will say sometimes if the coverage is real strong and real physical off rip, he does have a tough time working around it with route running, but he can break off it just based on being stronger than most of these guys. But he's looking for contact, and he has ability to fight through the contact to get open, you know, kind of what I'm saying there, and excellent transition speed. So when he gets that ball, you know, really smooth and fluid in terms of, you know, making moves after the catch and getting away from guys. So he got really, really high grades in terms of after the catch ability, burst, elusiveness, really good hands, I thought. And he was just above average in terms of the route running technique stuff. So there's definitely, you know, he leaves a little bit to be desired in terms of, you know, the refined wide receiver fundamentals, but man, he's so explosive and so dynamic. Yeah, I find it hard to believe that a team doesn't want to find a role for this guy.
Yeah, Mr. Malachi Corley here sits at 5'11", 215. Playing for Western Kentucky. He didn't play at all his first year in 2020, which, what, they probably played like three games that year anyway. But in 2022, this guy caught 101 balls. I mean, that's nothing to really shy of. Like, he earned a ton of targets to come up with 101 receptions there. So, looks like a baller to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, draft capital is going to be massive for a player like this. And landing spot, too. Like, it's going to need to be in a spot where you think that they can utilize him in that versatile way and that he can get a good deal of touches, in my opinion, right? You want to see him, you know, getting the ball potentially in the running game and in the passing game, which would elevate that upside. But, you know, ADP coming in at 27, wide receiver 13, we're well above that at 18, wide receiver 9. So we'll see how much that changes post-draft. And, you know, that definitely can change a lot. I can see him dropping if he falls substantially in the draft and doesn't go somewhere that, you know, he has opportunity. Can hop into Malik Washington. These guys are kind of similar, so it's probably good to have them back-to-back and talk about them back to back, but holy cow, is this a guy who we are way higher on than the community by, you know, three rounds almost. So something's going to have to give here, whether it's on our end or on the
draft capital. End.
Yeah, draft capital is going to be massive here. Do the numbers at least shed, you know, some decent yes. light on this guy?
I remember doing the rookie recons last weekend, and I was pulling up his yards per out run and stuff like that, and it definitely stood out to me. So don't exactly remember where I put him, but probably pretty high. Four-year declared, average dominator, 29.2%. His average yards per team attempt was 1.07. Malik Washington, career yard per outrun is 3.15. Yards after the catch per reception, 6.4. An 8 out of 8.1. Nice little sweet spot there. Slot rate, 87.9. So low A dot, high slot. Last year's man per out run was 3.24. Last year's zone yards per out run was 3.22. Contested catch rate of 80.4. His career best target percentage was 34.8, and breakout age of 20. First downs per route run, 0.132, and 2.9 avoided tackles point game. I haven't watched him play at all. All I need to see is this, and it's a guy I'm intrigued by. What does the film say?
Those are some strong numbers, and the film is pretty good. Like, he's up in that, you know, McConkey, Mitchell range for me, Roman Wilson, like that kind of range for me. I think I like him a good deal. Tons of plays out of the motion, so he does lack a proven release package. Doesn't exhibit elite speed, especially long range. Like, you can see that on the film, and I do think I actually recorded something for this that'll drop tomorrow, so you can see what I'm talking about. But incredibly elusive and tough to bring down. So he has that really great short area quickness, excellent hands, above average route technique, separation both with athleticism and technique, more lateral agility than fast, kind of going back to what I'm saying in terms of that long speed, that short area speed, almost like a running back playing wide receiver. But I would say a little bit different than like the Malachi Corley. It's just kind of that frame that he has in that low center of gravity. But Malachi is a little bit stronger, I think. Short choppy steps, almost like an Austin Eckler or a Ray Rice. It kind of reminds me of how he runs, and you can see that. And I think it kind of contributes to the lack of long speed because he doesn't have the long strides, shorter strides, but it offers a lot more in short area, which is great, right? You need that. He doesn't appear to have the elite extra gear. He does have the special teams ability, so super well-rounded, and he's going to get on the field, going to be drafted by a team. Not an immense amount of tape in general, but from what I saw, I thought he was pretty impressive across the board, above average in almost every category except for beating press, which I discussed is just not really on the tape. So I don't know if he can do it as more of a projection. So he's, you know, just average or below in that regard.
Yeah. Malik Washington, prospect out of Virginia, sits at 5'9", 191. According to Player Profile, he's 23 right now. So that's something something to know about. Ran a 4.47 40 yard, and Player Profiler's burst score actually put him in 97th percentile with 135.3.
He's definitely got some juice. Like he's an impressive player, but it's that's even more shocking to me that, you know, 57th overall wide receiver, 25, like this guy's getting no love. So again, this is another one similar to Taj Washington, but he may have more viability in the NFL that I'm just probably going to have a lot of. Like, if this is going to be where he's going to go ADP-wise, don't worry, I'm not drafting him at 20th overall or anything like that. But yeah, I'm super interested to see where this guy goes. And yeah, Jake pointing out Tank Dell was only 23 as well. So the age, you know, the age doesn't matter as much. And like you did mention, I think, with Malachi Corley in that 2021 season or whatever it was, but the COVID definitely had an impact on these guys still. So, you know, you gotta, you know, contextualize the age a little bit, I think, here.
Yep.
Okay, I think this might be the last wide receiver. I don't think I put him on the sheet, but I don't think we talked about Roman Wilson much. So I do want to dive into him a little bit, because I do think the numbers are a little better than you'd expect when you start digging into them. And I thought the film was pretty solid too. We're definitely more in line with the community on Roman Wilson.
Roman Wilson declared after the first year. His average dominator was 21.8. Roman Wilson's average yards per team attempt was 0.6. Career yard per out run was 2.68. Yards after the catch per reception, 4.6. Slightly higher ADOT, 13.9, but with a pretty decent slot usage at 68.7. Last year's man yards per out run was 2.77. Last year's zone yards per out run was 2.56, so he kind of wins no matter what the defense gives him there. Contested catch percentage, 71.6. His career best target share was 18.5. A little low, but that's okay. Breakout age of 22, so like we talked before, it might have to do with COVID year and some other stuff, but he's a little bit older prospect here as well. First down per route run is over the 0.1 threshold of 0.129, and his avoided tackles per game is only 0.1.
Jake coming in hot tonight. JJ McCarthy made Roman look Greek. Woo.
That's so good.
That's great. I mean, I think the numbers are interesting because his first down per route run is actually really, really good. Yards per team attempt, not really good. And I think that's a product of kind of the scheme and the way that they played, right? The 68.7 slot percentage, I think you would think that he plays more out of the slot, but you know, I'm just going to go right to my notes from there. Mainly playing out of the slot, good quickness, versatile, although mainly slot, also seen playing out wide and in the running game. Very twitchy off release and breaking at the top of the route, everything moving forward in terms of moves, which you want to see, right? There's no wasted movement, really. He doesn't have game-breaking speed, but he does have enough to take the top off of defense, good field recognition, low center of gravity, and good contact balance after the catch. A little like Tyler Lockett-esque in his game, okay. I think. I'm not saying he's going to be that good or anything like that, but just kind of has stylistically kind of what I think of him and how he plays the game. You know, Tyler Lockett, obviously smaller guy. You'd think mainly slot guy, but he can play out wide too, right? He can do that. And I don't know if Wilson is necessarily that talented in terms of, you know, down the field routes, but I, you know, he, there's some of it on tape, and he does pretty well on the outside. So yeah, I mean, he's an interesting prospect to me. I think, you know, in terms of ADP 23, we're a little lower on him. I'm kind of surprised by that. 31, wide receiver 14. So I guess, you know, we probably won't have a lot of Roman Wilson if he's going to be drafted that high, unless he goes to a damn good situation.
Yeah, so Roman Wilson out of Michigan, I think the offense probably has a lot to do with what's going on with him. But 5'11", 185, out of Michigan, ran a 4.39 40. 4 years there, he never did crack more than 50 receptions. But that might just have to do with the coach there, who's no longer there, and just the kind of offense that they have there. But he did catch 9 touchdowns last year, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he had a pretty decent year. Like, it's, you know, nothing to scoff at, but
nope.
I think that price may be a little too rich in this class for me. That's interesting. I thought I'd be higher than the community on Roman Wilson, but I guess not. Okay, we're hopping into our first running back here, Uriah's favorite position. we're gonna get it going here with a Ray Davis, who, man, I was surprised, first of all, just to see kind of where he was. He's close to our rank in terms of ADP, but I was surprised that he was even that low. I thought he'd be a little bit higher in general by the community with how much love we've heard about Ray Davis, but I guess, you know, the ageism is getting to us.
Ray Davis, 5-year player. His average yards per team attempt is 1.59. His career yard per out run is 1.28. Yards after the catch per attempt, 3.8. His elusive rating for PFF is 96.6. His missed tackles force is 0.26%. And his breakaway percentage was 44.7 with avoided tackles per game at 0.26. PFS gave him a pass block grade of 32.
Is he fast?
I'm just wondering. I know that folks are pretty high on him, but there's not a ton below.
I wouldn't say he's fast. He exhibits good burst in short area. I think that he definitely lacks something in terms of blocking, but I thought, you know, in terms of pass catching, like I put out a film on him too, I was super surprised by how well he performed as a receiver. I mean, he definitely got the highest grade you can get in terms of receiving ability. The routes were there too. He's running stuff up the seam, down the sideline, wheel routes, not just stuff out of the backfield. He's definitely not that elusive. That's the lowest mark other than blocking in his profile here for me. So that shows up on tape. That makes sense. Contact balance is good. He's really just an exceptionally sound fundamental runner and an above average pass catcher. He exhibits good vision, burst, contact balance, all that good stuff. He's just not really elite at any one skill, I don't think, but average to above average in each. Better receiver than credited, really good footwork in a phone booth. So I could see a role for him. He got one of the highest grades out of any of the running backs in my class just because he was so technically sound kind of across the board. So again, with him being a 35 ADP wide receiver, running back 10, I didn't switch that, sorry, and DU rank 40, running back 11, that's just surprising to me. It's just surprising that he's that far down, even for myself. So he could be a value in this draft. I mean, people have been talking about it all offseason, I feel like, and he definitely could be a value in this draft if he's going to remain that low and get a decent landing spot. I find it hard to believe that he remains that low.
Ray Davis, again, out of Kentucky. He's 24 years old, 5'8", 211, 32 BMI, runs a 4.5, which is okay. But it looked like he did have to switch schools twice. Temple his first year in COVID year, Vanderbilt for two, and then Kentucky his final year.
I'm just making sure that pass block grade was accurate, and it was. Okay, so yeah. All right. I don't know why I thought his pass block grade was way higher, but it lines up with what I saw on tape, so that makes sense. And I think we discussed that a little bit last week with Waldman too.
Now PFF, you know, it's PFF is amazing when it like agrees with your priors, but when it doesn't match what you see, then PFF is trash. But grain of salt, but hey, it's something.
I mean, it's nice to kind of have something to check your work against, you know what I mean? But you kind of always got to take your own eyes, I think, over the group's eyes, that is PFF, and whoever is kind of grading that out, we just don't know. But it is good to have that reference point. I like their just kind of data that they have rather than their grades. I don't love looking at their grades as much as I like looking at just the data that we can acquire from them. So, okay, let's move on to Blake Corum, one of the, I think the higher ranked prospects in this class, right? He's some people's running back one, somewhere between running back one and three. For us, he's running back four, ADP running back three, 17th overall in both spots. What does he show by the numbers? Your eye is just banging on the computer like the old man.
Yeah.
What's
okay? Okay. Cool.
On? How does this thing work?
It's so funny. Like people in my real life, like think I'm like the technical guru of things. I'm like, all right, Blake Corum declared after year four, BMI 31.17 is average. Yard per team attempt is 1.4. Yard per route run, 0.87. Decent marks for a running back. I mean, good receiving marks for a running back. Yards after contact per attempt, 2.4. Elusive rating of 27.4. Missed tackle force percentage is 0.12. His breakaway percentage is 31.8. His avoided tackles per game, 0.12. And a pass block grade from PFF of 54.3.
That all pretty much lines up. So, yeah, I mean, for me, he didn't stand out in terms of the receiving ability, but pretty elusive, in my opinion. And I mean, just great short area quickness, really good vision and anticipation. You know, he's able to process really fast. So I think that enables him to force missed tackles. Now, I don't know, it doesn't necessarily show up on the data in terms of force missed tackles, but he's fairly elusive, put it that way. Pretty good burst, good contact balance, low center of gravity. I thought he was a little bit better blocker than PFF did, clearly. Really good footwork, really good fundamental runner. Obviously, put up great numbers at Michigan, tons of touchdowns, which translate to the NFL. Like, that's one of the stickier things for running backs is touchdowns. So I can see this guy, you know, getting some work early on in the NFL. And oh my God, if he goes, you know, to the Chargers or something like that, then wheels up, because we know he's going to be utilized in that way again by his former coach.
Yes.
We got a question. Why do we hate Blake? Blake Corum?
Bortles? We don't hate him. We're
running
back
four? Running back four? That's not hate.
Not hate at all.
I think we like him enough.
Blake Corum, 5'8", 205, out of Michigan. Runs a 4.5. Player profiler's agility score puts him in the 94th percentile. And he played all 4 years at Michigan. Rookie year, 2 touchdowns. The following year, 12. The following year, 12. The following year after that, 19, and then 26. So this guy's like, whatever the opposite of allergic is, that's what he is to touchdowns.
Oh my God, the end zone. He's a magnet. In terms of our rankings, we have the first four running backs back to back, and they're all tier one. So Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, and Blake Corum. And okay. I just think that those three ahead of him, Brooks, Benson, and Wright, just have more upside. That's kind of how it goes in this class, right? Where none of them really stand out above the pack. And then you have, you know, Brooks with the injury, obviously, but he's our running back one. I know, haters. Is this a Michigan fan? I swear I feel like the Michigan fans, you cannot get them, you know, sway them from loving their players, like whether it's JJ McCarthy, Blake Corum, no matter what it is. I saw somebody arguing that JJ McCarthy today is like an exceptional runner. He just wasn't asked to do it at all. If he was, he would have used his legs, right? Anyway, you would have figured out, I don't know. They come up with any excuse for any narrative anywhere. We don't dislike Blake Corum, and we don't even dislike Roman Wilson. We actually probably like them. Right in line with the community, to be honest. So, I think Blake Corum is a really fundamentally sound runner who could make some waves at the next level. He's just older and doesn't have a long shelf life, so that's just facts. Let's talk about Kamini Vidal out of, I think I messed his name up too, and I knew that, but I guess I didn't change it. It's like Kamani Vidal with an A in there. Anyway, this is definitely one of the more interesting prospects in the class, with no ADP to be spoken of in April per DLF ADP, which is kind of shocking as well. Ranked down there for us in 42. I didn't switch that running back 12. I was going fast. What you got from the numbers?
Yeah, and I know this is a guy that a lot of people like
have as their sleeper candidate. So I think if, you know, I think if those mocks for DLF went five rounds instead of just four, he might actually have an ADP. Just a guess.
That's, yeah, I mean, yeah, probably, but still.
Declare year four, BMI 32.3, a little thick. Average yard per team attempt, 1.36, pretty good for a running back. Average career yard per out run, 0.81. Yards after contact per attempt, 3.58, which checks out with his elusive rating from PFF is 118. Missed tackle force percentage is 0.32. Breakaway percentage, 37.6. And avoided tackles per game of 0.32 with a pass block rate of 79. Seems pretty sound on the sheets.
Yeah, definitely very sound on the sheets. I just don't think that he's like the best route runner, pass catcher. He definitely offers. He's a capable receiver, no doubt about it. He's more elusive by the numbers than I thought he was on film personally, but really good vision, good burst. I mean, patience and anticipation are key for him, which probably, you know, translate to the missed tackles force. But I mean, those are pretty impressive numbers, especially if you look compared to like Blake Corum on the last slide. It was like 0.12 missed tackle force percentage, 0.32. It's much, much higher. So He's definitely getting it done in that regard. Really, really good footwork, really wide base, efficient, not wasting movement or anything like that. Really good contact balance, good blocker. So I mean, just you know, like I said, patient runner, good vision at the first and second level. Excellent acceleration and speed when given space, but lacks some lateral agility and bend to turn corners without losing speed.
Yeah. Again, Kimani Vidal out of Troy, of all places, 5'8", 213. Thick dude. We already went over his BMI. Player profiler has his combine stuff, 4.46 40, 87th percentile speed score, 78th percentile burst score, 78th percentile agility score, college yard per carry at 5.6. And he was pretty productive all 4 years in college.
Super athletic guy. Super athletic guy, yes, for sure. No, we love it. Don't worry about it. We can take it over here. Jake's giving us a hard time each and every second. So it's just add on to the pile. No problem. We can jump into Isaac Grendo. This is the dude who flashed at the combine, who blew the doors off of the 40-yard dash. So I'm interested to see if Grendo gives us anything in terms of the numbers, because he was okay on the sheets for me. He wasn't the best. He was okay. I'm sorry, in terms of the film, he was okay.
It's like, what are you doing?
But definitely left a lot to be desired.
All right, yeah, Isaac Grendo, never heard of the guy until the combine, which is, you know, really, really good for him, right? This is a way for him to get his name in the national media, so I'm always rooting for these guys. 5 years, BMI of 29, I'll call it 30. His average yard per team attempt was 0.86. Career yard per route run, 1.7. Yards after contact per attempt was 4.1. Decent elusive rating of 106.8. Missed tackled force percentage is 0.2. Breakaway percentage, 48.6. Avoided tackles per game, 0.23. And a pass block grade from PFF for Mr. Isaac Grendo, 52.7.
That lines up.
Yeah, not bad. Fast. He's fast.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's definitely fast. No ADP to be spoken of. D rank 37, running back 10. This guy is really making his bones by being elusive, by having good contact balance and good burst. Like, everything else comes secondary. He doesn't have the best vision, not the best pass catcher. Actually, leaves a lot to be desired from that perspective. Pretty decent burst, and I mean, that obviously goes into the long speed. Just, I don't think he exhibits great footwork, pretty undisciplined, but I mean, you know, the burst is clear, good curvilinear movement to beat defenders to the holes, angles, corners, edges. So he's a guy who, if he's given a little bit of space, he can definitely break off a big play. He doesn't exhibit refined, you know, route technique in any way for a running back, could improve the footwork and decisiveness, but if the hole exists, he will recognize it. He lacks some anticipation and processing when things aren't perfect, but he makes up for it at times with the athleticism. So he's one thing. I pointed this out to Jake and I sent him a screen or the, like a 4 second screen grab of it where he's like, he moves sideways. He moves diagonal. Like he moves, you know, sideways and vertical at the same time, which is something you don't see out of a lot of guys. So it's a unique player, but I don't know if he's fundamentally sound enough to get on the field at a consistent basis for any team. So that's just kind of where I struggle with it.
Yeah, he doesn't have a ton of college production. Like, his best rushing attempts was his final season at Louisville with 132. But
right.
A 6 foot, 220, he's able to put up a 4.33. He finishes with a 100th percentile speed score, a 98th percentile burst score, and an 84th percentile agility score. So the kid's athletic. I mean,
very.
And that, I mean, that's good. That matters with running backs, right? So, but is he able to handle the workload? I don't know. You don't see it in his profile, so.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I don't know. He might, I mean, he's going to have to go to a really good situation, I think, to maintain that rank. Honestly, I could see him even falling. There's just some other guys, you know, we've gone over that were ranked, I think, a little bit lower that might jump him. So I think that athleticism pushing him up a little bit maybe in the rankings for us. But Dylan Lobby here, I don't think he's going to pull up in the sheets. Actually, I know he's not going to pull up in the sheets. So let me actually see. I forgot about that. Dylan Lobby, I'll share the PFF profile on him so we can see him a little bit. So 2.57 yards after contact per attempt in his final season, which is pretty solid there. 24 missed tackles forced, a lot less than the season prior, but he also had a lot less carries than the season prior as well. Yards per attempt dropped, breakout percentage dropped, 34.9. I mean, it's probably better to go over to, you know, if we want to give him, if we want to highlight him a little bit, go over to his receiving stuff and see, you know, he had 68 receptions for 708 yards here. And this is really where he was making his bones, right? Like, these numbers are pretty impressive. 1.96 yards per route run. Obviously, the A dot is 1.8. So it's a running back. And then the missed tackles forced, 23. Missed tackles for us in the receiving game on 68 receptions. So that's a pretty good rate in terms of missed tackles for us. So this, you know, this is going to be, can he find a role on a team where he can be the main pass catching running back? That is like the key for this guy, right? He's yeah. going to be absolutely nothing if he doesn't get on a team where they utilize him in that way. So I wanted to highlight him because truthfully, when you throw on the tape, he does pop. You're like, oh, shit, this guy can play. But he's old as hell. He's five seasons deep into New Hampshire football. And, I'm just not sure that it's all going to translate to the NFL. But he definitely has a skill set to do it. He's a dual threat guy, but way better in the passing game than he is in the running game. So we'll see if a team is interested enough to give him a shot, you know, to get any work, steady workload. So we'll see there.
Yeah. Our boy Dylan Lobby out of University of New Hampshire, shout out UNH. 5'10", 206, ran a 4.5. But yeah, just again, as you're kind of highlighting his peripherals for receiving in college, his first year, 4 receptions, that's 2020, only played one game. But then after that, 22 receptions, 49 receptions, 69 receptions for 206 yards, 464 yards, and 699 yards. Like, that's his bread and butter. He could be, an Austin Eckler light type of deal would be kind of, I think, a ceiling.
Exactly. Exactly.
Love it. What's his ADP? 42. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I like it. That's intriguing.
Yeah, he's a little bit higher for us. So, yeah, very interesting prospect right there. We haven't talked about JT Sanders at all. We've talked about Ben Sinnott. You know, I don't think we need to talk about Brock Bowers. The dude's a stud. But we haven't talked about JT Sanders. I know we asked Matt Walden a little bit about what he thought, but I wanted to give at least the case by the numbers for Sanders.
Making me spell out Jatavian instead of...
I know, dude. It was tough. I was checking to make sure it worked, I was like, Jesus.
No, this is slick. Jatavian Sanders... Declare year two, average dominator 16.8, average yards per team at 10.7, career yard per out run of 1.86, yards after contact per reception of 7.7. That seems like a pretty good number for a tight end.
It is.
A dot of 9.8, which actually seems probably perfect for a tight end. Slot work 20.8, last year's man yards per out run, 1.86. Zone yards per out run, 1.65. Contested catch rate of 67.2. Career best target share for a tight end, 17.7. Breakout age of 19, young dude. First down per out run, 0.08. And his avoided tackles per game is 0.3. Love what I see on the sheets.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I loved what I saw on tape as much. I mean, he's the tight end three for us, and I think he's what, tight end two by ADP. We have sent it over him. But just I just think he really lacks something in terms of route running. You don't really see an incredibly nuanced route runner, a lot of schemed up plays, in my opinion. He does create good separation, great hands for sure. He's elusive, I guess, for a tight end, but he's a bit heavy-footed. He's definitely a fluid mover, though. I do think he lacks a bit of bend below the waist. Not as much lateral agility as you like to see. He's more likely to run you over or run through you than around you, I should say. But he does flash, you know, really good yak ability after the catch. You don't need to be the most elusive guy at tight end. If you can run guys over, that's definitely enough. But what really kills it for me, and I do put some weight into this, like the blocking, he's easily the worst blocker out of the top three guys. And he's one of the worst blockers in the entire class, in my opinion. So there's just, I mean, he's a good receiver, but he lacks some nuance, and that I think he's going to find it really difficult to stay on the field consistently, in my opinion, almost no matter where he goes. And you got to get him in a Miami situation to even, you know, envision, squint, and be like, yeah, this guy can be, you know, top five, top seven, whatever you want, a usable tight end. So I'm just not sold on it personally, but he's definitely got the traits. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, Jatavion Sanders out of Texas. He's 6'4", 245. Basically your prototypical tight end. Ran a 4.69, 40. And yeah, he did three years technically at Texas. Only played one game his first year, but his final 2 years. And he bounced to the NFL draft at a pretty early age. So I'm a little more intrigued because I didn't watch the film. Everything I see on the sheets, I kind of like.
Yep, yep. That makes sense. I mean, I think that if you were only looking at the sheets, you would be, this guy's tied in too, no matter what, easily. But I think when you throw on the film and then you see a guy like Sinnott and you see how much more versatile he is in general in the, you know, and then he adds the blocking on top of it. But I also think after the catch, he's just more fluid. He has more bend. He's also able to make guys miss in different ways. He definitely can run through you, but also he can jump over you. He can juke you out. He can make a spin move and get around you and has good transition movement through the moves. You know what I mean? It's not just like, I think that's what Sanders lacks is that transition movement. That transition speed, where it's a little more clunky than it is for a guy like Sinnott, which is why I see a little bit more well-roundedness in him and I think more functionality for Sinnott than Sanders, who's kind of more of a one-trick pony for me.
All right.
Jake, really? You disgust me.
Message from Jake. Hey, guys, my Dynasty League has kickers. Can you cover the top three kickers coming out? Thanks. No, Jake, nope. We cannot. they're all in the CFL or was it XFL, UFL? I forget what it's doing. They got some really good kickers.
I didn't make a graphic for this last one, but I did want to touch on Theo Johnson real quick. He's a guy who we haven't talked about, I don't think, at all on this podcast, but he had the 9.99 RAS, just absolutely insane athlete. He's massive. So he's one of those guys who, if you wanted to do some projection, we're like, maybe he can do the whole, you know, the Gronkowski, the Travis Kelce, the, you know, nobody knows him and he comes out of nowhere and ends up being a startable tight end. Like he has that, I think, in the peripherals of his profile. I think you can find that if you want.
I'll go over his metrics here from Player Profiler first. Yeah, 6'6", 260. Out of Penn State, so of course he's going to test well because that's what they always do at the combine. If you want to have really good combine numbers, just commit to Penn State. They'll help you out. You ran a – it's true.
They're practicing for the combine but not football. That's why his numbers suck.
Yeah, I hear that their like practice facility is slanted ever so slightly. So when they're running their drills – anyway, stupid stuff we look into. 40-yard dash, he ran 4.5 at that size and weight's pretty good. 97th percentile speed score, 95th percentile burst score, 77th percentile agility score with a huge catch radius. Logged in 4 years there at Penn State and commanded at least 50 targets last year. So he's big, he's athletic, and yeah, not too bad. So I'll go over his other stuff here real quick too. I kind of did this a little bit backwards, my bad, but I was looking at the one and was intrigued. I'm like, wow, this guy super athletic. But declare year four, average dominator of 17.8 is average yards per team attempt is 0.32. Career yards per route run is 1.26. Yards after the catch per reception, 5 with an 8 out of 7.2. Slot percentage, 38. Man last year, yards per route run is 1.06. Zone was 1.34. Contested catch rate is 76.5. His career best target percentage is 10.9, so not sure if he's ever going to be that second target on the team, which we all want with our tight ends. And then first down per route run was 0.07. So not great. Just really, really athletic.
Yep, and he's not really avoiding too many tackles, not making a lot of guys miss, even in the limited work. And, I mean, that's a big issue, right? It's limited action, so you don't have a ton on tape over multiple years to be like, all right, this guy can do these things. And for me, you know, something that just didn't show up on the tape was that elusiveness. I think the lowest grade, second lowest grade in the class for elusiveness. But everything else, he was pretty solid. Like, I think he was a pretty good blocker, pretty good hands. And I thought, you know, what you did see of him as a route runner, he wasn't bad. Like, they lined him up in the slot out wide, in line, pretty versatile with good size and strength. Would definitely like to see a lower pad level. I think he runs a little high. You do see a few drops here and there, and it is limited tape, so that's concerning. But overall, I thought he had pretty reliable hands. So I don't want to ding him too much because of the lack of tape and seeing a few drops there. He does lack some bend below the waist, especially when making cuts, turns, but he's fluid straight away. He's definitely more of a big slot, I think, but a better blocker than most big slots. So maybe if they could develop him, he could turn into something that we're interested in fantasy. I definitely wanted to highlight him for that reason alone. I don't think that there's really too many other guys in this class. I know, you know, we're not going to go over Jaheim Bell this week. We talked to Waldman about him, and I mentioned I agree. But he's one of those guys who I think some people have hopes for because of the receiving ability, but I just don't think he has the juice, really, and I don't think anybody else in this class does. I'm not a big Cade Stover fan out of Ohio State, not a big fan of anybody else in this class. Bryson Nesbitt's an interesting name, but again, super limited tape. He's kind of like a Darren Waller-ish like style kind of guy, but he is like only a receiver. So yeah, this class just really lacks what we are looking for at the tight end position outside of maybe 2-3 guys.
All right. Anybody else here you want to go over?
Yeah, I mean, there was guys I wanted to go over, but I think we're going to have to wait because there's too many of them. But, you know, there's definitely some guys I would like to highlight that, I mean, Tyrone Tracy, like Jalen Polk. We didn't talk about any of those guys. Isaiah Davis. There's some players here that, you know, after the draft we're going to be talking about. And, I mean, it works because we have the live draft Sunday night. So if any of those guys do get drafted, we're going to inevitably end up talking about them. And I'll, you know, we'll basically highlight their profile from a film and analytical perspective at that point if we hadn't touched on it here. So yeah, we'll get the opportunity. But there's some other names for sure that you want to keep your eyes on. If you want to know about them, definitely just hop in the Discord. I'm going to drop in the rankings are already there, but I'm going to drop in the film notes so you'll be able to see those lower rank guys that we maybe didn't catch on this episode. But I love emptying the notebook. This is always a fun episode, man. I love doing this every year.
Hopefully we could touch on Audric Estime. It's okay. We don't do it tonight.
We did skip over him tonight, didn't we? That's too okay. Bad. Yeah. Audric Estime is an interesting one, man, because he has that body type that the NFL likes.
A little slow, but big. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, no juice whatsoever. But and what's crazy is he's actually, he can't run routes worth a damn, but he can catch the ball. It's a really weird juxtaposition, but the dude can catch, so he could be more well-rounded than, you know, or teams could look at him as a more well-rounded type of player. But man, that, you know, the combine stuff like absolutely crushed him because he ran the 4.7 or whatever it was. And we know that that's not always accurate. You know, we were talking to Waldman about that too, and how they don't time it right with the lasers and the hand watch and yada, yada, yada. But yeah, Estime is an interesting player for sure.
All right. Well, let's get out of here with a couple trades. And man, tomorrow.
Oh,
NFL draft, baby. Can't wait.
Are you doing anything for the draft before we get into the trades? Do you do anything for the draft, or you just?
I don't. I turn on the TV and let my family know I'm not going to pay attention to them for like the next 3 hours.
And I mean, it's great. It's a great.
That's just the way it is.
Get a drink and vibe.
Yeah, I remember when I had my baby. She was born. Oh yeah, she was born April 11th. So I had brand new baby come draft time. So I just remember sitting in my yoga ball, bouncing her to sleep, watching the draft, you know. That's probably my most memorable draft moment, was watching the draft with my baby in my hand. And yeah, it was good.
Fortunately, she goes down at 7, so I should be free by draft time, no problem. I think I'm actually having Matt come over. He's been on the show in our Discord, one of my best friends. He's in our Dynasty and our Listener Leagues. Having him over, we're going to watch the draft. I think we're going to get some wings. I'm like a sucker for wings, and this is the perfect excuse for me to go get some wings.
My favorite food group.
Yeah, right.
Boneless wings aren't wings. Those are chicken nuggets.
No, thank you. Thank you. My wife does like the chicken nuggets, and she will be getting some of those, but they are not wings.
They taste okay.
I agree with that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I'm getting stoked already. My mouth's starting to water. I'm ready for this draft. Like, let's go, bro. Let's go.
A couple trades here. Let's talk about them. So we have
all right, fine.
25 first, the 1.11, the 2.104. Jackson Smith and Jigman, Zamir White. I actually voted on this one in the Discord. I chose JS.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's definitely a fairly close trade. I think I'd rather the picks here. Basically, I see it the way I break it down to make myself feel good about this trade is I'm getting the 111 for Zamir White straight up, and I think that's a smash. Then I'm getting a 25 first and the 210 for JSN. If I'm not in love with JSN, and if I have too many shares of JSN, if I want to kind of mitigate my risk with JSN, I think 25 first and the 210 is definitely an acceptable deal to move off of him and try to, you know, get a new receiver in the next class, whatever it is, and you have that 210 to kind of backfill, you know, some of that value. So, yeah, I definitely can see taking JSN and Zamir White. I get it, but I think there's a little bit more long-term value and liquidity and a little bit less risk with the picks because you can do so much with the unknown in the market, I think.
That is fair. The next one is yours. You traded away Terry McLaurin, your 206, and your 207, and you got back Tank Dell and a 308.
I did. These were both the same league. Actually, both these trades were our new League of Legends league, getting the activity going right before the draft. Yeah, I'll just say I think this is a super fair deal. I bought the Tank Dell side, so I know which side I land on. Oh, wait, whoops. I didn't mean to post that in the chat. I know which side I land on, but what do you think?
I think it's pretty good. So like McLaurin and the 206 for Tank Dell seems, off the top of my head, seems like a pretty decent deal there. And you gave away the 207 and got the 30. I think probably value-wise, maybe the McLaurin side is a little more, but I like going up and just getting Tank Dell. I definitely like Tank Dell's situation and what he did with CJ Stroud a lot more than what McLaurin has going on there. A little bit older prospect. He did put up over 1,000 yards last year very quietly, but we don't know who's going to be throwing him the ball. I think it might just be a slight overpay, but I still think that's something I would do to get Tank Dell on my team.
Yeah, so just for context, initially I sent over McLaurin in the 207 for Tank Dell.
Yeah, okay.
And they just declined and were like trying to make something happen for London with Dell. And I was like, no, you know, it's all good. I'm good. I want to see what happens with London. And a couple hours later, they came back and said this is what they would feel comfortable with. And if I'm going to already do McLaurin and then 206 for Tank Dell, I'll add the 207 on and get a 308 back. I'm comfortable with my evaluation process. I think that I can take, you know, as much advantage of that pick as anybody. And I don't mind dropping down the round to secure Tank Dell. This is essentially how I felt about it. And if we just go to ADP, because I always think it's good to kind of look at startup value with what you're doing here. So Tank Dell, wide receiver, 17, 49 rank. Terry McLaurin, 32. Wide receiver, 32, 95. So that's a pretty substantial drop in value. So I do think that, you know, the 206, 207 is fine to pay to go up and get, you know, Adele, who's up in the range, you know, is a fourth, fifth round pick compared to, you know, somewhere in the eighth, ninth round or whatever it ends up being. I'm comfortable with it, but I do think that you can look at this and be like, that's a fair deal. And I think it is a fair deal. I put it in the Discord actually. Let me see if anybody voted on that one. People were dissing me. Okay, 5 votes. Let's see. So yeah, it was 80% on the Dell side.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So yeah. Yeah. And all our leagues are super flex tight end premium. So yeah. Just to level set that. All right.
Good job getting the trades going.
Hey man, gotta get them going sometime. This is the time of year now.
All right, well, everyone, thanks for giving us a listen. For all those who have been listening throughout the whole prospect time of our off season, we really appreciate all the feedback, all the new followers, and people who have joined the Discord. It means a lot to us, just to be honest with you. Follow us on the Twitter box at Dynasty Underdog, at Uriah Dawkins, and at Willie Beeman FF. Join our Discord; it's free. It's growing by the day almost. Billy's doing a lot of good work with the YouTube, so hop in there. A lot of prospect profiles. He and Jake do a lot of stuff on the side that you may not be aware of. So hop in there and join our little community.
Absolutely. No, yeah, the support we've gotten over the past couple of weeks or the past week has been incredible. And like some of the messages we've got have been so generous and so nice, both from Matt. I mean, Matt himself, like saying that this is one of his favorite shows after hopping on 8 podcasts was probably one of the biggest compliments and best compliments we'll ever get. But also some of the members who joined our Discord sent me like some personal messages too, that I was just like beyond grateful for. So just really big shout out to you guys for sticking with us, for joining us and for, you know, reaching out too, because like you don't have to do that. And I think we really appreciate it, man. Cause we've been doing this for 3+ years now and we do put a good deal of work in and trying to improve and all that good stuff. So, yeah, man, we appreciate all the eyes and all the feedback.
Other than that, have a good night and enjoy the draft this weekend.
Shots in the pool, that is not cool. I need the tools, take me to school. Feet first, into this league, me first, that cannot be. Under the underdog, Monica G, feeling a whole lot better suddenly. I get in, winning again. You're 1-2 in the bag and I'm going for 3. That is the beat down, God of the best, so I keep now. Y'all treading water for weeks now. Sharks, so I eat. Now look, I am not sorry. I understood the pun from which I started. And navigating these drafts is cathartic. So thanks for the invite to party. Yeah. Dynasty underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night. Now easy as flying a kite. Now come take a look at it right now. Dynasty underdog bite down. Up at the day and the night.